So the first question I have for Laura is, how has your quiet time with the Lord changed in different seasons of life? Just being married, having kids, out of the house. And then how have you continued to just maintain that time with the Lord?
That's a good question. I think in the earlier days when there was no kids, it's much easier, obviously, to pick your time. And just for me, mornings are a really good time for me. So that was generally the time that I would do. And I've done all different things. I think when I've had more time, I've incorporated kind of like a journal. I got one of those little journal books that you write the main idea and kind of go through the scripture and just keep focusing on whatever that verse is. So that's one thing that I've done. With the kids, as much as being very busy, I would just do sometimes just a tiny little passage and maybe just use the rest of that to do scripture memory. Like, we used to be in a Bible study group, and I just had a sheet of Bible verses, and I would just memorize the scripture, and then that has served me well. And just different times where I'm tempted to complain, then I remember, you know, and just kind of speak truth to myself, like, do all things without grumbling and complaining, or, you know, trying to keep my focus on good godly things. Philippians 4:8-13, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely and of good repute, if anything excellent or if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So sometimes in those busy stages, just allowing that and thinking about that throughout the day, and I do that a lot anyway, sometimes just trying to think about in my day to not be tempted to be selfish or be, you know, obviously that's a constant struggle, but just reminding myself that I don't own me, that I actually belong to Christ, and just trying to, you know, remember that. And let's see, for the kids, when I had little kids, one of my favorite things, and also one of the most growth-promoting times for our family, is when we homeschooled, but first thing in the morning, we would do whatever our devotions were going to be. One time, we went through Martin Lloyd-Jones' studies in the Sermon on the Mount, and we just went through that together, and then we would talk about what we read and just apply that to different situations that the kids or our family was going through, or some sort of relationship issue, something that happened on the sports teams or whatever. And that was really, really good. We also went through together with the kids. We did a series on biographies. And so it was a Swindoll series, and we did Esther, Job, Joseph, Elijah, all these different ones, and that was really good. That was one of the things where when my kids, Tanner was in a, we were in an exit interview for hockey, and I was like, what? I asked the guy, what if we didn't do AAA? And he's like, oh no, he will never, you have to do it because otherwise this and this and this. And I specifically was thinking, like, Esther never did the plan. Like, she never was lining up with this, and God promoted her and did this, and Joseph was never training or doing anything particular to be the Grand Vizier of Egypt. And so I kind of used those things to say, like, we don't have to do AAA hockey. If God means for him to be NHL, he will do it. So I'm trying to think of other things. Lately, just in preparation, whatever's happening, like a lot of times for our women's Bible study, I'll just be like, okay, I need to be looking at 1 Timothy, and I'll read books along with, I'll read the passage, and John MacArthur has said something that I think is really helpful, of just like taking a book and reading it over and over and over again. Like, go through James and just go over it and over it and over it. And then another thing that I've done is, if I'm struggling in a particular area, I might look up some scripture that pertains to that and just really try to ask the Lord to just help me repent in the areas, or you know, just pray that he'll show me how to do whatever that is that I'm trying to overcome, just all different things. But I'll usually just get up in the morning, and I enjoy spending that time just whatever I'm reading. I'll read a little bit of scripture, and then I read a lot of books alongside. Anyway, that might be more than what you...
No, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Another thing, how has your understanding of the local church grown over the years? And what do you see from scripture as part of the importance of the local church in our lives?
Yeah, that's a big one. Because if you guys were... anyone who was here last night, what I was saying last night is that I really didn't have an understanding of the importance of the local church years ago. And I sort of had this, the idea more of a consumer mindset of just like, yeah, I should go there. And I really got something out of that. Or I'm kind of more just like intake. And that's what I sort of thought about it. And when we weren't going to church, it was the idea like, I should be going, but, you know, we're reading our Bibles. And so it's not, you know, I didn't think of it like the Hebrews 10:24 and 25, like, do not forsake the assembling. I didn't understand that. And one thing that really helped to shape my understanding or kind of correct that kind of lack of understanding is when we went through in GC group, Life in the Father's House. That was very, very helpful. And just understanding that the local church is, some of the ways that he puts it is just so helpful. He kind of talks about how if you're in a family, and if you are, you wouldn't just be like, yeah, I love my family, but I never want to be with my family. And if you're married and you're just never with your wife and you're just never, but you tell her you love her, but you're just never there and you're always somewhere else. And he was saying that just isn't, that's not a believer. And a believer who doesn't have a strong desire to be in the body and to be the things that we're gifted and talented in is not for, it's not even for us. It's not for me. My things that I'm better at or whatever, those gifts are for me to use in the local church. And I didn't understand that it's a covenant relationship. It's not just, but see that, you could probably see that with my testimony, because I was like, I read, God, give me salvation and thanks, and I'm just going to go over here. But it's not like that. It's a covenant relationship where I love the Lord and I want to be in the body, and I'm a part of a body. And if you are not contributing to the body of Christ, you're just letting part of the body just be atrophied. And so you're damaging the entire body by not serving out your gifts that he's gifted you to do. You are a detriment to the body. You're like, you know, causing a disease, basically, because you're letting part of the body atrophy and you're not contributing, you're not using your gifts as God gifted you. That's how I did not understand that before. So that is the reshaping. And that book is excellent. If you guys have not read that book, Life in the Father's House, excellent. Very helpful.
Great. Thanks. I still need to read that. So that's encouraging.
So good.
What advice do you have for those of us who are single ladies as far as God would just have us to focus on our roles and how can we make the most of our time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the number one thing that you can do as a single lady is to cultivate humility and look at all the different passages in the Bible that talk about humility and just having the attitude of Christ. Another thing that I think would be really great, I'm a book person, but I just got this book for Riley, for both my sons' girlfriends. Who else? I got a bunch of them. But I loved this book, and I got it in preparing for this stuff, and I didn't write it down. Girls Gone Wise in a World Gone Wild. And it's really good. It's very, it's kind of more for a single person trying to cultivate godly femininity. And it's so helpful. And what she does is she kind of, she uses the Proverbs, lot of Proverbs. Like, here's what the wise woman does. And she, and some of the things that she said were so helpful because she was saying, like, Okay, so you don't have a family, and so you, but you can still be a worker at home because you still have a home, and you should be cultivating these, like, if in your apartment or in your dorm or whatever. Make it, keep your things in order, have self-control, fix it up, like, make it, you know, live excellently there, and use your space as an opportunity to show biblical hospitality to people. Some people have the idea that it doesn't matter that you keep your home clean or your room clean or your dorm clean. Then you don't have any opportunity to have anybody come over or do anything. You're horrified. This is all the mess. But you have these opportunities to serve other people. And it's also, it was saying about single people that you need to be thinking about living your life excellently anyway and having godly priorities. And so that's another thing, is thinking about just girding up the loose edges of your life. John MacArthur did a really good sermon series on that about self-control and just living excellently and thinking about your priorities and thinking about the fact that, well, I need to do this first. And if a single person, you have more time available to you, obviously, but you can really squander that time. And the Lord wants us to be really circumspect about our time and making the most of our time, especially in these evil days. And so it's really important to cultivate godly habits. And so one thing I saw a lot of people, Greg Gifford's book on godly habits, I haven't read that yet, but I got to meet him at Riley's, Riley's Bible teacher. No, yeah, biblical counseling. What was I going to say? There's another really good book, and it's not a Christian book, but if you have discernment, you can apply. He's just talking about habits, and I'll have to tell you later. But anyway, it's a good idea to think about your habits and how those habits can help you to be using your time in a good way, to be a better servant. But I think the best quality for a single lady would be humility. And then learn about being a godly mother and wife, because you're probably going to be, chances are. And if not, our church has so many little babies for you to help with. Be a helper. Come alongside. That's what God made you to do. So you can help by serving, help in the nursery, help babysit for people so they can have a date night, or just like give a mom a break. Give a mom a break.
I love it. All right. You talked a bit about submission for wives. What counsel would you give to a wife who struggles a bit with the idea of submitting to her husband, from Titus 2:5?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the better ways to do it, first, you need to repent, because God calls us to submit. I think you need to look at, and I struggle with this too. So we need to look at all the examples of Christ's humility and ultimately going to the cross on my behalf, and that he's equal with God, and we're not. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And that's humility. Think about God, and just think rightly about God, and think about how holy he is, and that he is sitting on his throne in heaven, surrounded by angels who do not cease from saying, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night. They do not cease to say it. And for us to say, like, "I will not submit, I will not submit," and Jesus, being God, submit to the point of going to the cross. So, I mean, focus on what Jesus did for us, and look up specific verses and just work that through. But it's a really important, that's a good question, and it's a really important thing. But knowing that it brings so much glory in what we just talked about, that's the main point of our every day, of our every moment, is being glorifying to God. Think about that, and think about that he said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commands, and they're not burdensome." So if it's a burden, you need to really search your heart and just say, wow, you know, like it says, if I love God, I'm not going to consider his commands for me burdensome. And if you do, then you really need to work out some repentance, I think, is, you know, and I need to work out repentance, and I need to think about the fact that who am I that I'm like, no, you know, I get, you know, who am I? I think thinking rightly about myself and thinking rightly about God. And that was one of the things. I had a really good little book, but it talked about, you know, loving God correctly, thinking correctly about myself, and loving others compassionately. And then think about what that looks like, and just think about being a servant, and think about that, wow, you know, that's, Jesus said, if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. And think about being pleasing to the Lord, and that's our ambition, whether at home or absent from the body, to be pleasing to the Lord. So, does that help? Yeah. Another, I was thinking about in another area where sometimes it's hard for, and this would be for obviously for married people, but just submitting to your husband and understanding that the sexual thing is a thing. And it's sometimes it's hard, like when you have little kids at home and you're exhausted, or you just like don't really feel like giving to your husband. There's just some really important, I wrote down, it's just a good thing to think about and just bring up. In 1 Corinthians 7, if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. Oh, I had a little sticky note here. That would have been so much easier. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement, for a time, excuse me, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. That sometimes is not like a very popular subject, for especially for moms who are just frazzled, and just the idea that, you know, it's up to you to say when and when not to just submit to your husband in that area. But it's a really important area, and God is commanding us to be thinking about our husbands in that way, and to just be really thinking about how to submit as a, there's one other verse, well, Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. And just the idea of the other passage that I was telling you that I try to think about, and of course now my brain is not going to go to the reference, but the fact that you don't even own yourself. You don't own you. God owns you, and he's telling you that it's important for you to submit to your husband in this area, and you don't own your body. Your husband actually has authority over your body, and you have authority over his body, and so we are to stop depriving one another, and that's in Scripture. Each partner is given the right over the spouse's body for the satisfaction of the other. And married believers are not to sexually deprive their spouses. While celibacy is right for the single, it's wrong for the married. The practice of deprivation may have been most common when a believer had an unsaved spouse or whatever, but the idea is you want to be obedient in that area, lots and lots. It's just, that's what the Bible says. It is clear. So, anyway.
All right, thanks, Laura. How did you shepherd your children in their salvation without giving them false assurance, but also not discouraging interests in things of the Lord? So how did you just encourage them in that?
I'm going to be honest in that one, that I, you know, in my maybe lack of, how shall we say, maturity in that area, I think I, looking back, I wish I maybe did a little bit better. There were times where I was like, oh, it doesn't seem like you're saved because you wouldn't be doing this thing. And I don't think that that's necessarily the right way. I was kind of talking with someone about this last night too, but I think the idea, and what they were saying too, I think that the idea is you want to present the gospel and model the gospel and just look for areas to shepherd when you see things that are not the right thing. Go to Scripture and say, oh yeah, this is what the Bible is saying here, and we want to try to, you know, work on these things, and I struggle in this area too. But here's how we want to try to go toward this direction. And it is something that you just pray, and you can't really. I really thought like that all my kids are saved. I'm like, oh, they're saved. And they're probably not saved at a young age because they probably, I mean, obviously God saves and they're saved or they're not. But I think it takes a while for them to kind of start processing those things, I guess. And just much prayer and much modeling, I guess. Modeling of godliness to your kids, and just lots of shepherding, lots of talking about it. What a true believer looks like. Say we can, let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, and this will tell us what a true believer looks like. This is what a Christian looks like. These are the qualities you want to have. This is what, you know, Jesus demonstrated, and hopefully they see those qualities in us. So
so you mentioned from Titus 2:5 that wives are to be workers at home, the primary managers of household things. So can you give some practical suggestions for married gals whose husbands do a lot of the just managing of the home, grocery shopping, meals, laundry, cleaning, that kind of thing, to make changes to honor the Lord? So just practical ways they can make those changes and free up their husbands so that the wives can embrace the command to be workers at home.
Yeah, that's a good question. It is really important. I mean, while it's not a sin, obviously, for your husband to cook, especially if your husband is JB. But the idea is that there are biblical roles, and God has designed it that way on purpose. But I would really struggle. I would struggle in that area if I was Christy, and I understand that. But I'm just, that's a joke. But anyway, honestly, that is something that you need to be thinking about, and we need to think about. The role is for the wife to be doing those responsibilities. It's not wrong for the husband to help out here and there. For example, Rick is so gracious to me. You should see my kitchen right now. It's just like stacks of papers everywhere and books and thank you. And it's just crazy. And so he has been so kind to like, kind of like, he just has been like unloading the dishwasher sometimes and like making food. I'm like, oh, do we need to like make some food here? But you know, just little things like that. But that's not the normal thing. That's like, it's nice for your husband to be able to help, but you need to understand that that is your primary role. And so I think one of the things that you could do, again, is start thinking about habits and building healthy habits and not squandering your time. Make sure that even though we're all like really busy and we have little kids and stuff, but I think if you're like me, you probably still find time to be lazy and wasteful and laying around when you could be kind of maximizing some of the time in a better way. And that's not, I don't mean to sound ungracious. I think there's ways that you can shore up and kind of build healthy habits that will be time saving so that you can build a routine. And some of the things that I used to do for meal prep, you know, just make a whole bunch of things and put some things in the freezer. And then some night when you're just like exhausted, you just go and I actually did that a couple days ago. I'm like, oh, look, lentil soup. Yay, we're done. And so, you know, just kind of like work smart, not hard, and have, you know, line up things in advance and just, you know, try to be a better manager of your time, I guess, and try to think of ways to maximize your schedule and try to think of ways to build better routines for your family so that everybody knows, you know, like maybe say to the kids, though you're not napping or whatever, you know, I know this is not going to work for everyone, but have the understanding that from 2 to 3, we just have quiet time. You can read a book. Here's your coloring books. You can paint. You can whatever. Not painting. Don't do painting. Crayons. But just taking better charge of your time and understanding that your husband's main job is to provide for your family, and it's a big responsibility. Let him do his role and you do your role and find out. And that's not to say there's a little bit of stuff here and there, like, you know, they can take out the trash sometimes, whatever, but just understanding, don't feel like that. Don't let him do your work all the time. It's not helpful and it's not biblical.
Thank you. So, and it can be a struggle at times for young moms, as you mentioned in the teaching. How can they find fulfillment in their role as a worker at home even when things seem really hectic?
I think, that's a really good... I think try to turn down the input of the world, because the world tells you that it's such a sellout. It's such a sellout to be a mom, like, oh, you know, all the different times, I don't know about you ladies, but any time that I'd go to, like, a doctor's office or whatever, and it's like, what are you doing? You're filling it out, and you're like, I'm a housewife or whatever. You know, I just kind of feel bad to say it, and it's not bad. It's like, I, now that I have grown kids, and I see the impact that they are having for Christ, and they're... encouraging my heart with the things that they're saying, that they're learning, and just the truths that they're putting, you know, that are coming back to me, I'm like, wow, I can't even believe what just happened. And it's amazing just the impact that you can have on an eternal soul, and you're doing something so much bigger. It's so tempting to start thinking like, I'm just like, I'm here, and my hair is gross, and we don't even have time or money for getting highlights, and I'm dirty, and the laundry and the kids are out of control. You just start feeling like, what am I doing? You know, like, oh, this is my life. But you are, Vodi Bakum has, he's so funny, but he talks about how his wife is he goes, my wife is a world changer. You know, she is creating, he talks about like how, you know how the Bible says that, warriors, arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior are your children, are, you know, your arrows in the quiver. And so he said, blessed are those whose quivers are full of them. And he says, our kids are intercontinental ballistic missiles, and we are training to send them out for Christ. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. But it is like a... it's a high calling. It's a high calling, but you have to train your mind to think rightly, because if you are going through the day and just going like, man, I, you know, like, I have a college degree and here I am, like, my kids are throwing up and the dog just ate the whatever and I'm here and what am I doing? Then you've missed the entire point. You're doing something so big and so glorious, and so I can't even, it's so amazing what you're doing, and don't ever, ever feel like it's not good enough or that it's not enormous, because the world cheapens it and the world says, oh yeah, you're just home at your house, you could be working at the office over at the insurance company. Like, what? That's what we have in our mind. The successful lady is the lady who's, I'm an attorney and I have an apartment in the city and I've got my briefcase and I'm going to the office. Woohoo! But all those ladies, and it's a lie, because those ladies are like, I never got to see my baby's first step, and I never, oh, they said, oh, nanny, instead of mommy, you know, whatever. Those ladies are sad because they don't get to be with their kids. How God hardwired us to have that love and nurturing desire for our families. And that's a good God-given desire. And you're doing work that is inestimable. It is a high calling. It is so much more important. And even though the world will try to pretend like, nah, it's a sellout, they know and they see a difference when we're doing that. So.
Thanks. Yeah, even as a single, that's just... really good encouragement to think more biblically about that. So, how has your understanding of God's plan for men and women developed over the years?
I think it's developed just in the past couple of weeks, like, or over the course of the month. There's so much that I, like, really just, like, soaking my whole brain in this stuff I've learned so many different things. Like, I wasn't thinking about... the order, how God is so meticulous in the way he orders everything, so meticulous. And then the fact that he ordered the creation, and Eve wasn't even there. I didn't realize that she wasn't there when the instructions were given for the tree. Adam would have had to shepherd that. I didn't understand. I got it that, you know, I understood the New Testament says you have to do this, this, and this, but I think that the richness and the depth that the creation account, and just getting back to the origins of here's why, because this is how God like designed it and this is how it is. And then it's not just like, well, yeah, that was in, you know, those apostles were such, you know, men of their day type of thing. Then you know, no, that actually this is how God designed it and created it. So that was really cool to think about. Not that it's easy. I've never had an easy time submitting in every area, and I do want to have my own way, and I do struggle against that like anyone might struggle, but I understand what's right and wrong, and I know, and I've never felt like I shouldn't have to. I know I have to. I just have that. My struggle has been like I don't want to. It's not that, well, I don't know if this is right or whatever. I always have known what's right. And it's just a matter of, want, you know, I know the right thing to do, so it's sin if I don't do it. That's my thing. But I think the little things have been really helpful, just going through what we talked about in the last session of just how God set it up and what he had in mind and how it has to be that way. And it's beautiful. And we can't begin to understand the layers of... what am I trying to say? Complexity in everything, you know? And so I just think that's beautiful. But I learned a lot just from studying about this now. And other than that, maybe I was just like, I don't know. But, yeah.
Great. That's awesome. Last question for you. You talked a lot about humility in this Q&A. So how can we as ladies work to cultivate humility in our lives?
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think that... That's what, I'm like, well, I'm stumped. I have a hard time with humility. Yeah, I obviously that's one of my big things that I struggle with that. I think having just studying the attributes of God is helpful. I really loved the book, a little booklet called From Pride to Humility. I think it's by Stott. Stuart Scott. Very helpful. Just thinking about, I think it's good. That is one of the things that I have gone through in quiet time and trying to think about, okay, I need to think about these things. Philippians 2, 3 through 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, and thinking more, about, having others be more important than yourself and having that attitude, just really, really meditate on what has been done for you. That's what I try. I'm not very good at it, but what I want to do is think about what's been done for me, what I deserve and what I don't deserve, and how I don't deserve to be glorified. And so for me to say, they didn't treat me well. She said this, or these people are. If somebody says something about you, they couldn't have scratched the surface on what's really the case. You know, like there's more to you're so. I am so wicked. You guys don't even know how. You know, I mean, nobody else knows how wicked you are, and so you just have no basis for your pride. You have no basis, and you need to, I guess, think about all the reasons why the devil was kicked out of heaven, and it was pride, and the pride is the root of every sin. So that's something to really root out in a big way. But I think it's helpful to go through the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's helpful to read any kind of books that you can on humility. And I think it's just, like I say, focus on who Jesus is and think about how he was in heaven being worshiped day and night. And he became a man, which is terrible for him, right? I mean, that's the ultimate. And then he was beat up and mistreated by terrible people, and he's God. And so I think just really focusing on who Christ is, what's been done for you, and just being aware of your attitudes and actions and being quick to repent. So I just gave myself a little sermon. I'm going to try that at home.
I need to hear that too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's been really encouraging.
Yeah,
we're going to have maybe like 10 or 15 minute break, so you guys are welcome to go grab some snacks, grab some drinks, go to the bathroom, and then we'll come back for our last session.